This meeting is being recorded.
Good morning and welcome to NC Broadband Matters webinar, Why Broadband Matters to Farming. I'm Krista Vinson, and I'm so pleased to welcome you to one of our ongoing series of webinar sessions. This time we'll be covering a topic we haven't covered before, but it's very timely as agriculture is important to the state of North Carolina, a $95 billion industry. We're joined by some experts that can really take us through this topic. Mark Boxer, technical manager at OFS and NC Broadband Matters board member, will be interviewing Kenny Sharon, broadband access and education coordinator for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension. It's going to be a fun conversation. We hope you'll bring forward your questions in the Q&A, and we look forward to the discussion. So I'd like to invite Mark to introduce Kenny, and we'll get started.
So Krista, thank you very much. I am just really pleased to be part of this. I'm going to start our session by making a bad pun, and that is that ag and broadband is an quote unquote evergreen topic. You know, so it is one of those that is out there. Agriculture affects us in North Carolina in so many different ways, and broadband is increasingly becoming a part of just making sure that the industry stays healthy and competitive. So just a little bit of background about me. I work for a fiber manufacturer, OFS, live in the greater Bath metropolitan area, connected by a fiber, but my front yard is a soybean field and a corn field. So I'm very interested in the whole concept of connected agriculture. Have had some experience in trying to actually do some startup ideas with some things that may come out as we talk through the session. But this is not about me. What I'd like to do is make an introduction to Kenny Sharon. And Kenny, just going through his bio, is just a very interesting individual. And we're very happy to have him, number one, as part of the presentation today. And then also as part of our NC Broadband Matters board. So Kenny is North Carolina native, born and raised on a family farm in Union County. He is NC State University grad with a couple of degrees. And then from there, he has had a very interesting path with a number of additional degrees and a number of different jobs really around the country that are primarily rural based and agricultural based. So, and he has come back home, and he's also served as on the National Digital Education Extension Team of the Southern Rural Development Center for 5 years. Currently, the National Broadband Fellow with the Extension Foundation, working to improve broadband programming capacity within the co-op extension system nationally, and joined our board in December of 2021. So, Kenny. I know there's a lot more, but I'd like to go ahead and turn everything over to you and welcome, and thank you for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here. Glad for folks to join us on this important topic. And as you'll hear, it's a topic very passionate to me, and I'm excited to share some things I hope makes everyone think about why broadband matters to farmers. That's ultimately what we want to do. And we'll share some use cases of why that matters and some examples, and we'll go through this. So I'm going to share my screen now. Get that. So we should be seeing my title slide here, Why Broadband Matters to Farmers. So I grew up on a farm in Union County, North Carolina, just outside of the town closest to me was Indian Trail. Some of you might know where that is. And this is the technology that we used on the farm, a very basic tractor. We still have two of these tractors, 4020s, a classic John Deere tractor. We still have two of them on the farm to this day. when I get back home, I love the opportunity to get on that tractor and just drive around, brush hogs of pastures, do whatever needs to be done there on the farm where my parents still live and my brother still lives. But I wanted to show you this technology and compare it to technology in cabs of tractors and combines today. If you take nothing away from this presentation, I want you to just recognize the difference here. I was trying to think of an analogy. So just say if you were working in an office in the 1970s and your mode of being able to communicate neatly was a IBM Selectric typewriter. And you went away for a while and maybe took you away. Maybe you're a mom that raised kids and came back to the workforce. And if I was to get back into a modern day farm tractor and look at this, I would be lost. Farming is so technical now. And that's something I want to communicate to everyone. I don't know if the technology involved in farming is visible like it ought to be. But that's one reason we're having this conversation today. We want to communicate the technical aspects of farming and what it's going to take to meet the world's food and fiber needs. So this is a new role for Cooperative Extension, not just in North Carolina, but nationally. As Mark said, I'm involved with a national group working to build the capacity of Cooperative Extension across the nation on how do we advocate and help with broadband issues, not only in farming, but also across the portfolio of Cooperative Extensions. And so I sort of reckon it or liken it to be like a foreign language translator. So I've worked in this area enough to understand some of the broadband language. I'm on the North Carolina Broadband Matters board now, hearing some of these guys that have worked in the industry has helped me understand some language. And it's like finding these puzzle pieces that will work and help agriculture in North Carolina and how we can put these things together. So that's sort of what I feel like my role is in Cooperative Extension, is this puzzle piece finder as we translate between the different languages and the needs and seeing what could be applied. So why Cooperative Extension? I think we have 100 plus years of success in Cooperative Extension. We help society adopt and adapt to new ways to earn, learn, and be well. Back in the 1800s, 4-H was starting corn clubs. 4-H started from corn clubs, and the kids would come to these corn clubs and learn how to get a higher yield from their corn harvest by spreading the manure from their animal lots on there. I mean, that helped farming advance and modernize, and Extension has always been out there helping society adopt and adapt new technology. So this role of Cooperative Extension playing to broadband technology, digital skills, digital literacy, it's a natural fit for Cooperative Extension to make and help us get what's needed in our society, which is this digital transformation. So I've developed, and we can share these links out, but NC State Extension broadband webpage, I've developed this. If you look on there, I sort of try to come up with a taxonomy to classify my resources on those websites. You have the tractor with the Wi-Fi signal under, and the other one stands for Family and Consumer Sciences 4-H, and then the houses there are community. So if you visit our website, every article you see that I've put out there has a logo on it, trying to help distinguish what part of Extension the resource is about. We welcome you to visit those web pages. One thing that's a broader area in North Carolina is the North Carolina Agriculture Digital Alliance. You see the logos here. There's a group of people working on why it matters to farmers that farmers need broadband. So we have interest from production ag, local farms, local food growers, agritourism places, all the way to farm workers. So when the pandemic hit and the farm worker outreach workers could not get out to the farm workers on these farms across North Carolina, they had to try to reach them through hotspots and the internet and that sort of thing. So that brought a whole new realm in to thinking about why broadband matters to farmers. To be able to connect with those farm workers and for those workers to be able to do health visits and such like that. So this is a broader umbrella about why broadband matters to farmers. And it's over a whole network of people working together to bring and shine a light on that. And you're welcome to join. We have quarterly meetings. Our next meeting is in June 2002 here in a few months. So, but what's really important, right, is the money. So I want to share some ideas with you and some research I've found of why broadband matters to farmers. And as everything, boils down to money a lot of times. So this chart or table shows that there's research. This link's on my website. You can find this study. It's done by the Federal Communications Commission in D.C. So with when we see broadband connectivity doubling, the percent increase with doubling of connectivity, we see a 3.6% savings in profit in corn, and 3.8% in soybeans. So what does the money figures look like? So in 2019 in North Carolina, there was over $400 million for corn harvested. So if we increase that just by doubling internet speeds and connectivity, we could see almost $16 million of cash flowing around there. As you say, how did that happen? So what this study showed was it was being able to shop the inputs. It was being able to shop the seed costs from suppliers. That's what brought the savings. So if you add just being able to shop these costs, the inputs for your farm, if you add that to the technologies that are coming out with precision ag, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. If you add those together, we could see productivity increasing and efficiency increasing on farms a great deal. So the other example, which is becoming even more important now, is with that same doubling of the farms that have connectivity, we have a 6.5% decline in fertilizer expenses. I don't know if you've been hearing about fertilizer costs here recently, but they're taking off like a rocket. So those input costs are skyrocketing for farmers. And there's worry. Is it going to be even worth or financially viable to even put fertilizer out there? And if you don't put fertilizer on the crops, you don't get the yield. So just being able to shop fertilizer expenses increased help reduce the cost of fertilizer 6.5%. So here's a little calculation. So in 2020, there were almost 1 million acres of corn planted in North Carolina. So I found a number. That number is going to be very much higher now, but the average fertilizer per acre was $150. So that equals about $148 million worth of fertilizer put on corn acres in North Carolina in 2020. So if we save 6.5% of that, that's another almost $10 million floating around in the economy. That's just with doubling the people that have access or speeds of per thousand households. You can read the slide there, but I think that's amazing. And again, that's not dealing with the precision ag stuff. That's just being able to shop expenses. I mean, you know, when I buy a vacuum cleaner or if I buy a car, I'm on the internet searching what's the best one and who can I get the best price from? Is it Walmart? Is it Amazon? Is it the local store here in town? Farmers want to do the same things and shop the prices for their inputs. And a lot of times they don't have the connectivity on in their farm office to be able to do that. So it's really important to do that. So we looked at some direct monetary things, but what about quality of life? And I have a saying that, you know, farms grow crops, right? They grow corn, they grow soybeans, they grow cows, they grow cotton, they grow all kinds of things. But now farms also grow data, right? So think about that. So they're growing the crops, but they also are gathering all this data with that high-tech instrumentation in these tractors and combines and all sorts of things. But you know what the tragic thing is? Many times farmers have to transport their data just like they transport their crops. They have to put it in a truck, drive it to a place where they have connectivity to upload it. Now, isn't that tragic that farmers have to take that time? Next, we have a great quote from a farmer in North Carolina, Archie Griffin, lives in, I think, Beaufort County. We were trying to get him to come and talk about this topic, but you know what farmers are doing right now? They're getting ready to plant their fields. So we had a hard time finding a real-life farmer to come and talk to you. So I apologize for that. We really wanted some fun. But Archie provided this quote, broadband is an issue we suffer with daily in our area of Beaufort County. Many people believe that our equipment runs off of GPS alone, and while it does, it's for guidance in order for efficiency to be maximized and the multitudes of data that we collect be effectively utilized. It has to be moved by good old cell towers or outdated methods as flash drives. You have to put those flash drives in the truck and take it down the road. So if you can read the rest of it. So he says on his operation, if he was doing that manually, it would take 3 to 5 hours a day just collecting the data from their daily farm activities. That is incredible. And we have to get connectivity to the farm if we're going to meet the food and fiber needs of the world. So here's another use case. I'm just throwing out some of these use cases and helping people think about how connectivity impacts farms. So there's research that shows over half, 59% of farm and ranch families receive benefits through public sector employers like healthcare, education, the government. So what if through connectivity and adequate connectivity, those spouses or partners could have a remote job where they get the same benefits, but they would not have to commute to town for those public jobs. They could work from home and be there. It would less commuting, more farming, and that working spouse with the benefits could, with the remote work, maybe at lunchtime could run their partner down to the field to pick up the tractor that they left down there because they drove the grain truck back and left the tractor. Now they need someone to take them back to get the tractor. So if we had that ability to have more people at home remote working, that would be fantastic. So another use case. So one of the ways to increase productivity and increase profit is to reduce grain bin storage spoilage. So when we cut corn in North Carolina, it's usually at a moisture level that it needs some drying. So we put it in the bins. We use propane, which there again is going way up in cost. So if we have monitors in that bin that can monitor the moisture levels. And we can have an app on our phone, just like we have Nest thermostats in our home, and we can turn on the air and turn it up and down from remotely. If farmers can turn on those, that heat, and dry that corn down a little bit and do that from their phone, it saves, and then they can turn it off when it needs to turn off. That would save extra propane, because if you're doing that manually, maybe you're 10 or 15 miles away and you have to drive over to turn off the drying from your bins. Well, that's 10 or 15 minutes of propane that could be saved just right there if you could just do that remotely. There is a company that's doing just the very thing, but you know what? The technology is there already, but it's going to take connectivity at those grain bin sites to be able to make this work. Because if it's not connected, if you don't have an internet connection there, you can't control those dryers and fans and such there. So here's another case. One of the things that Mark didn't mention, he did sort of generally, that I've been everywhere. So I lived in South Dakota for about 7 years, working with the Cooperative Extension Service in South Dakota. You know what? It's really cold in South Dakota during calving season. They calve at the same time, like this time of year out there, but there's still dangers to those calves. So what some of the folks, the farmers out there and ranchers do that have connectivity is they'll put in video monitoring on their lots where they can watch the cows and look at the cows during calving season. Otherwise, they have to get up, drive over there in their pickup truck, check the cows, go back to bed every 2 hours. That's the routine during calving season, is every 2 hours they have to go check the cows. Well, they still have to check the cows every 2 hours, but it's much better to be able just to roll out of bed, pull up a screen on your iPad or your computer and look at the cows. And if none of them are calving, and you don't have to go get that calf inside where it's warm and dry, then you can just go back to bed. Otherwise, you have to get in your pickup truck, ride out there. And you know what? In South Dakota, you can't just stay in your PJs and get in your pickup truck because it's cold. You'd freeze your tail off out there. So anyway, if you could just save one calf in that, with that video monitoring, you've paid for your system there. I mean, and this type of technology, this monitoring thing of places, greenhouses in North Carolina, there's a lot of greenhouse industry of horticultural plants that happens in North Carolina. If they have that monitoring on those greenhouses so they can turn the fans on and monitor that heat in those greenhouses. And some of that technology is already out there, but it's going to take connectivity on the farm. Poultry houses. I mean, there's already technology to monitor poultry houses and turn on fans and cooling in poultry houses. So I hope you see that. I mean, I'm giving some examples of particular cases, but this same type of technology can be applied in multiple ways. And the linchpin is connectivity on the farm. So here's my other saying here. Farmers, because I live with one and I'm sort of one still, farmers are some of the most innovative, inventive, and creative people in the world. When they can add connectivity to their toolbox, they will rise to the challenge of meeting the world's growing food and fiber needs. I believe this with my whole heart. I've seen my dad create a tool out of scrap metal from an old planter or old cultivator. That's their resource. That's his toolbox. That's where he gets his materials. If these farmers who are at NC State, at Mount Olivet, at A&T can have access to that connectivity when they go back to their farm, they're going to build the apps. They're going to build the technology. They're going to use the technology to meet the food and fiber needs of North Carolina and the world. So I want to be able to share a video that we've worked on here. This video was taken at a Connected Food Field Day. Let me stop sharing and then reshare because I need to make sure I turned on the video part of that. Okay, we're optimized for video. Okay, so we're going to watch this video and go from there.
So what took place here today was highlighting some technologies that we think are amplified by being able to connect to the internet and the resulting ability to move information, to be responsive to data, and to be able to make really better decisions on the farm by getting the information to the right places. Some new interesting bandwidth has come open through federal communications that allows us to leverage some interesting new technologies to create private, essentially cell phone data networks. Now that this connectivity is available, let's highlight some interesting use cases and some technologies that can leverage this technology to get this data in the right place at the right time.
Rural broadband is definitely an issue. It's going to take fixed wireless. It's going to take fiber optic cable. It's going to take different technologies to meet the needs all over, because those last mile deployments are the hardest ones to reach.
All the interesting and high value technologies that are coming out from these data analytics companies, original equipment manufacturers, they're essentially assuming connectivity. So for us to be able to leverage the latest technologies, the latest tools, and to really get the greatest value out of the investments that you're making in a new tractor or combine, for example, you need to be able to get the information off of that and make a good decision from it. If we don't have good connectivity, people in our local rural communities who have great insight, have great innovation to share that can really solve local problems in their communities, they may not have the ability to get the resources they need to get that off the ground or to deliver that solution in a meaningful way.
So I'm learning how to connect people that are doing things with broadband and liking it to be like a puzzle piece finder. So I find people that are working in broadband that I think is relevant to anything in cooperative extension and try to connect those things into the network and the knowledge of cooperative extension service.
There's a few backbones across rural Eastern North Carolina, you know, where the kind of the data all kind of lives. And we need to be able to get middle mile from the backbone and then last mile to wherever it's being used. And crossing that divide is really the huge piece. And so to me, if we can do that with wirelessly and maybe avoid some of the physical infrastructure costs, that's a real option. But really, whatever that looks like to get it from the backbones into the doorways or at the farm gates, that's really the gap we've got to cross. Here at Harvey Farms, they already had a dedicated RTK tower, so it's real-time kinematic. It's a very precise GPS signal, and that allows them to leverage automatic steering systems or other kind of GPS technologies very accurately. We essentially were able to bring hardline internet to that tower, and then once it gets to that tower, we then rebroadcast that signal on what's called private LTE, right? So it's just like your phone says LTE if it's on a 4G. It's the same technology, but it's in a different bandwidth. And that bandwidth is called CBRS, Citizens Band Radio Service. And so that's the new spectrum that's been made available. And so what we were able to demonstrate here is how you can actually connect hardline internet to a wireless access point, essentially, that is a local dedicated data network for a fixed area.
Awareness is one thing, but when you pass awareness, what's next? It's the affordability. Can you afford to adopt the technology that's out there? And then once you adopt it, how do you use it? There's lots of money flowing into the deployment of broadband. I want to position Cooperative Extension to be that resource where people learn how to use the technology once it's there. So the digital skills, the digital literacy that takes farmers, ranchers, they're going to need new digital skills to be able to use the technology that's being deployed all around them. The more people you can get signed on to service, it justifies companies deploying broadband down a road, if they know they're going to use the broadband, they'd be more likely to run the fiber down that road. Broadband is ubiquitous. It's going to create an ecosystem of innovation with farms, with rural people. They're going to be able to learn how to use the technology that's there. Farmers are some of the most creative and innovative people that once they have a resource, they're going to find a ways to use it to make their product better, to be able to improve the quality of their farm.
If we can demonstrate its value to local decision makers and to end customers so that they understand, you know, what they're already paying for or what they're missing, and then for communities to understand that this is something we could do. And I think if they can see that model, that we can solve problems in rural North Carolina with expertise in rural North Carolina, if we just had the ability to connect it to the rest of the world.
Okay. In our annual report this year, we have a section on some of this technology. You're welcome to visit the website to see that. We'll be able to get you this information through email or otherwise. We'll put it in chat here in a minute. I want to just highlight the gentleman you saw there, Jason Ward. He's an assistant professor and extension specialist at NC State University in the biological and agricultural engineering. He's done stuff with imagery and that sort of thing. But just like he said, that we can develop the technology on campus and we can have all this grand data collecting things, but until we can get the farms connected so they can get that data up to the cloud or to the researcher or to the analyst working on that, it's going to be a hard sell to get the farmer to take that much time to drive that data to where it can get connection and get it up to the cloud. So that's going to be a hard sell. So connectivity on the farm is vital. We have to get those farms connected. We're not the only ones looking at this. Some of you would be surprised to know that the Federal Communications Commission has a task force for reviewing connectivity and technology needs of precision agriculture in the United States. You can get to the website, see their studies and their when they meet. So they're going to do that. Oh yeah, I was going to share a little bit about sort of the behind the scenes of what that video was showing. There on that farm, they were able to get that hard line to that tower, put the LTE 4G, the stuff up there. But the tragic thing is the only connection out to that backbone network, that high speed fiber that's out there was a measly 25.3 connection provided by CenturyLink, because CenturyLink would not bring the fiber down that street. So the technology on the farm was faster. That LTE tower technology was faster than the backbone it had. So the farm could do that, but do that technology, have that connectivity on the farm. But the bottleneck, the pinch point, was that connectivity back out to the backbone of the fiber. So that's one of the mysteries there. One of the important parts is farms have to get connected back to that backbone farmer fiber so we can get information out there. So all that we've talked about today can be placed on this continuum: awareness, availability, access, adoption, advancement, all of it that we've talked about. So I wanted to sort of bring this up. I mean, we're building awareness just by doing this webinar, but availability, the infrastructure dollars that are coming down from the federal government and the great grant in North Carolina is open up now. The ISPs are submitting proposals. They're due on April the 4th. They're working on getting that fiber infrastructure built out. Where I think extension can have the biggest impact is the adoption and advancement. And that's one of the places I want to focus on. So in Randolph County, we created a group to work on digital inclusion, and we became known as the Randolph County Digital Alliance. And the vision of that alliance, and I sort of have adopted this in other ways too, in Randolph County, every household and business will have the opportunity to earn, learn, and be well by accessing needed digital resources. So that earn, learn, and be well, I think, is important. It covers what I think are the crucial, critical parts of having broadband technology access. So you're able to earn. You can either improve your production metrics, just like we showed when farms get connectivity, it increases their yields, increases their profit. We can learn. It might just be learning the price points, or we can take a class and we can improve our skills. And as COVID highlighted, a lot of times, and I think it's going to be increasingly so, we're going to need to access our healthcare resources by digital means. And that's the be well part. So that's sort of where we are here in Randolph County. And I'm using that same where we develop that earn, learn, and be well in other places. So, for example, if we want to put dollar amounts back to this, so in June 2021, the average download gigabytes was 405 and upload was 28 gigabytes. So if you want to equate that to some monetary figure, and if the old adage is true, time is money. So if you had a 10-1 DSL connection and you spent 52 hours online downloading this and uploading this much data, how much would it cost you? And this is based on the average wage in Asheboro, as I found, $15.23 an hour. So if time is money, you're going to spend 152 hours. That equates to $2,314.96. You waiting on downloading and uploading these speeds and this amount of data. And as you can see, as your connectivity rate connection speeds increase, your lost productivity decreases. So if time is money, this chart is important. We have to get connected in North Carolina. So one of the ways that I'm working on that here in Randolph County, and I'm hoping to duplicate that across the state, is I'm within a day or two of posting position here in Randolph County for a digital literacy and skills agent, being housed right here in the Cooperative Extension office here in Randolph County. And they want to, that digital skills agent is going to be able to impact the county and help them understand and learn and use the digital resource that they have to earn, learn, and be well. So this is I've convinced the county commissioners that ARPA funds, this is a approved use of ARPA funds they got into the counties from COVID relief, and we can work on digital literacy and skills. And so they're going to provide me with the money to hire this agent and buy a mobile toolbox. So we're going to have laptops and devices that I can take these classes out to people in Randolph County. And like I said, because of my role in the state, I'm hoping to be able to find some counties that want to duplicate this across the state. I'm looking for funding. I'm going to be hitting up the state folks when they open up that digital literacy and part of their broadband funding they've got. They'll be hearing from me. I'm looking for other sources or other people interested in helping bring this model to other counties in the cooperative extension system in the state, because I think it's a great place for this person to live, this digital literacy and skills agent, as we make that transformation to a more digital world that we live in and access services in. So that's it for me. That's my presentation. I'll be glad to answer any questions and want to have a conversation now if we can. So I'll stop share and bring that open. We can answer any questions. And there's lots of other people in the background on this call that could answer questions. So please put those in the Q&A section or type them right in chat. I'd be glad to have that conversation. And I'll drop some of these links in as we're waiting on some questions. I saw that in there. So
while we were waiting on questions, the first question I have is, what was that white robot?
Oh yes. That was
very interesting.
So that robot was designed to take measurements in the field. It goes to the field. You can log in the where you want for it to measure, and its way. It has these scanners, sort of radar type scanners, and it can look at the leaf cover above it, and they look for insect damage in the leaf, knowing if we need to spray there. It had a whole bank of technology that could be deployed on a farm. So that was a pretty cool demonstration of that. Again, we had to be able to connect that. And that robot was connected to that LTE system. So that would that's pretty cool.
So I am going to put in my plug for anybody who's listening. For years, I have been waiting for the AI-based laser weeder. So you basically have a little robot that is solar powered. It bounces up and down the rows 24 hours a day and identifies weed versus plant and zaps it. So anybody who is who's out there, if we have any budding entrepreneurs out there, that is one concept. The other one is the real-time nitrogen sensor. We'd love to see some of those. But there, in the agricultural world is absolutely, there are so many opportunities for sensing. Kenny mentioned the grain bin and the humidity opportunity, but there are so many of those that are out there. So any questions? So it looks like Catherine wants one of the robots to use to find her cat, and I think that is that's an excellent excellent application. So what are there differences between the applications for large farms and small farms?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Mark, because
that was from Catherine.
But right. So Catherine, I'm glad you asked that. That reminds me. So there. Broadband connectivity impacts all types of farms. So some of the applications I've highlighted here, larger farms, deals with row crop technologies and that sort of thing. But I have a series of, I call them chewing the fat sessions coming up. And I've already had one of those. And there was a local farmer, just a sort of a hobby farmer that does farmers markets and local food type stuff. And her biggest problem is getting the word out about what's available on her farm because she has very poor connectivity in her little hobby farm in Chatham County. I mean, you think with Chatham County, everybody's connected there because it's developed, whatever. But no, she has a hard time getting connected and being able to provide information due to connectivity and on her social media account and that sort of thing. So, and then another case here in Randolph County, a great agritourism destination in our county is Millstone Creek Orchards. I've talked to Beverly Mooney, who's the owner of Millstone Creek Orchards. She has a horrible issue with broadband. Fiber is like up at the next crossroads near her farm. but she has to pay for like two or three DSL connections just to be able to run her cash registers in the stores there. So just the little things like that can make a huge difference when we think about farms being connected. It's not just the large scale farms. It's not that, but just having the connectivity at an agritourism site so you can take credit card payments. I mean, that's a huge deal. And she spends a ton of money with those multiple DSL connections that are still poor, but that's the only thing that she's offered, and she has to have two or three of them just to run her business there. So, yeah, that's a great example and great, great question. Thanks for bringing that up.
So, separate question. What is, when you start getting into a lot of the precision ag applications, you know, we see those in a lot of different ways from, you know, from precision planting to precision fertilizer, fertilizing and so on. What are the yield impacts for right. typical crops for those types of applications?
Right. What I can tell you, I don't know that's a field crops specialist questionnaire. I'm not that, but I can tell you that as those combines, when they harvest the crops, they're gathering yield data across that field, and you can lay that yield data out on a map of that field, and they know exactly what part of that field produced the best grain. So if you combine that with a detailed soil map, and they can then precisely prescribe the amount of fertilizer and the type of fertilizer that can be put there. And the way when we put fertilizer out on fields, when I was growing up on a farm, a truck just came along and they just broadcast it everywhere, and all the field hopefully got the same amount, right? But there's technology now that can precisely dose fertilizer in the row beside the seed to get the exact amount of fertilizer needed in that soil type for that plant. Even rates of it's to the level of technology where planters that are connected to technology can change the density of seeds based on the soil type in the field. So if you have some poor areas of soil in your field, you can plant less dense less seeds in that area, because it's going to take more to grow that. It's this poor soil. But if you are in a bottomland, you got very fertile soil, it's great. You can increase the density of your seeds, and you can program all this and it knows to do this in this precision ag stuff. So, like I said, farming is so technical, and being able to connect the farm to the cloud when they get all this stuff up, we're excited to be able to work on this technology, but connectivity on the farm is going to be key.
So Kenny, we're starting to see some additional questions roll in. So from Chris, and sorry about your last name. I'm going to go with Utesh, but I'm not sure if that's right. So I apologize if I'm wrong, but what can smaller or larger internet providers do to best find and help farmers in or near their network coverage areas?
Right. So depending, they just need connectivity. Passing their farmhouse where their farm office is located is critical, and having that technology out there. Now, as applications develop, as technology improves, and more farmers start building these apps and data capturing techniques to grow, then covering the last acre will just be as important as covering the last mile. The mile being it passes by the farm office or the farm, the grain bin location across by there. But as we develop that technology that's going to create the correct connectivity needed in the field, that last acre thing. So, Chris, that I think just making sure including farms in your digital inclusion planning. I know the grants coming down from NTIA is going to require the state to redevelop their broadband plan. So in the county, the Band NC program in the state already has digital inclusion planning. So all that's going to be involved in being able to include farms and those farm workers in that plan is very important. So, yes.
So another question. So thanks for the question. Thanks for the answer. Another one from Stephanie Jane Edwards. And I think she's a neighbor. So yeah. What types of places will your office be doing digital skills presentations or training? And are many farmers market organizations involved?
That's a great question, Stephanie. Thanks for asking. So we'll be onboarding this new person quickly. I'm actually the part of the national group I'm with. We're developing two toolkits for extension personnel to be able to use. One is to help communities organize to bring broadband and develop those broadband plans for their communities by getting community input. The other toolkit we're using is we're putting together some free lessons. When I say free, I mean they're resources that have already been created. There's a lot of digital literacy and skills training materials out on the internet. And one, a person could get bogged down just looking for something. So we've been working on getting lesson links kind of put together based on the category of what topic you want to learn. So I'm going the first week of May, we're having a train-to-trainer event for cooperative extension staff in St. Louis. So we're going to roll that out sort of as a pilot, and as months and years progress, we're going to be able to implement that across the nation. But here in locally Randolph County, once we get this digital literacy and skills agent on board, we'll be doing those classes. It's COVID money, so we're going to have to make sure we abide by the economic impacts part of the COVID money. So, and we want to do that. So we'll be looking at those underserved areas and those communities and being able to take it out to churches or community centers or this mobile classroom, a bank of computers to go out and teach some of these skills there. So thanks for the question, Stephanie. I'd be glad to talk to you. And then farmers markets, yes, our farmers markets, we're developing and helping farmers markets get more organized. There's an app that farmers markets can list on. It's called Visit NC Farms. It's a statewide initiative that there's an app that farms can be listed on, farmers markets can be listed on. So integrating that technology with those local growers, an excellent use of technology when it comes to farms. If you look up High Country Food Hub, it's a food hub in Boone, North Carolina. It's run out of the Cooperative Extension Office in Watauga County. And they have a digital platform where people, farmers bring their produce to the food hub. They enter it into this digital database, and then consumers can come and see what's available and then choose what they would want to buy from a farm. So it's a high-tech farmers market. That saves so much time for those farmers. So rather than sitting under a shelter for hours on end, reaching hopefully 20 or 30 people every Saturday, they can bring it to this hub. We can, with technology, aid the transaction, and then we can have people there boxing up what they select and coming and those folks and consumers can come by and pick it up at designated times. So anyway, that's sort of what we're looking at. Other questions?
Yeah, no, the digital farmers market to me has always been one of those that's been a very interesting concept. I know that there were some of those towards it's been probably 5 to 10 years that mm-hmm. were out in the western part of the state. I'm not sure if they're right. still operational, but I know that right. those are some, I think they're real opportunities. And once again, all this stuff to me is and sorry to use the pun again, but evergreen. You know, there is, you know, we're going to be growing stuff for a long time. We're going to be eating stuff for a long time. And there's always going to be there are ways to hopefully make that process and get it, get food to people, you know, more efficiently. Right. So we're coming up towards the top of the hour. Any additional questions? You know, Kenny, you know, I just, again, want to take the opportunity to thank you very much for, you know, just coming on and sharing your expertise. It's just very, very, you're very, very enlightening, very helpful. You know, it's good to know that there's a lot going on. So really also appreciate everybody attending. So let's hang on for just a little while to see if there's anything else. And then if not, then we'll go ahead and wait a minute or two and then go ahead and call it a day.
I appreciate everybody joining and hope. Thank you. I love talking about this, as you might could tell. So,
absolutely. No, it is.
I'm just glad to have an audience. So,
okay.
Well, Mark, I'd love to take us out here and just acknowledge that we will expand your audience today, Kenny, by sharing the recording with our expanded viewership, you know, those who registered today but weren't able to join us and to really heavily promote this content, because you absolutely made the case today. So thank you so much for joining us. And Mark, thank you. And to our audience, thank you for joining. We have a lot of great content in addition to this recording on our website at ncheartsgigabit.com. We'll share the link to the video that Kenny shared in a follow-up email. And as Kenny said, the objective is for everyone in North Carolina to earn, learn, and be well. So certainly to all of you, be well, take care, and we look forward to seeing you in May for the next NC Broadband Matters webinar. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.